When you teamed up with Jack Burns,
yeah.
You once again did radio.
Yeah, I was still in radio at the time, and my plan to leave radio and become a comedian was not anywhere near fruition yet. I hadn't done it yet. I hadn't gone out and tried it.
Well, when you got together with Jack,
that made it happen.
Right, you did you still did a radio show together.
Yes, we did
a comedy radio show.
Right,
and then you went out and started doing some dates.
Right,
right.
I'm going to unplug that. Jack and I were working in Fort Worth. He had come down from Boston, where we had met one another, and I had left and gone to Fort Worth. He came down from there, driving out to Hollywood, stopped in, got a job that just had opened up the day before at our station. We roomed together for about 3 or 4 months, and after the shows at night, I got off at midnight, he was the nighttime newsman, we would go down to an after-hours coffee house in Fort Worth called The Cellar. This was the tail end of the beatnik era, and these people still thought they were all beatniks. And there were some true beats there. And we would improvise a two-man act. We'd work up little ideas in our room during the day, and at night we'd go down there and improvise an act based on these ideas. And it was kind of raunchy. It was pretty raunchy. But based on our success with those people, we didn't get paid. They gave us free liquor. It was a coffee house, but they put liquor in coffee cups. This was the place where Kennedy's Secret Service people spent the night before his assassination, where the infamous drinking party took place that the Secret Service agents were at, The Cellar in Fort Worth. Based on this limited success with this captive audience who knew us and were half drunk, we quit radio and drove to California on spec.
Well, you came to California. How much of an act did you have? 5 minutes? 10 minutes?
We probably had 15 minutes.
Of material that you had worked on and polished and at least was getting laughs
yes,
for you.
Yes, polish is a very loose word at this stage,
yeah.
But yes.
But you felt
yes,
secure enough
we
to...
we felt secure enough to quit radio. And the guy said, oh, he says, you'll be back. He said, other people have quit this station and thought they were going to Hollywood. You guys will be back. He didn't talk like that.
All right, so you arrive in Hollywood,
right.
And now the two of you are out and you're picking up gigs, whatever.
Yeah, after lying on our ass for about a month, our money was stolen. We had to get back into radio here, which we did for 3 months. And at the same time, got a job at a place called Cosmo Alley, a coffee house, and started working there. Lenny Bruce came in to see us. Mort Saul came in to see us, thanks to our manager, Murray Becker. And Lenny got us a GAC contract, and Mort spoke up for us at a couple of places. And we were launched, so to speak. We also made an album after being in the business only for 3 weeks. We made an album.
Were you able to create and come up with enough material at that point?
We kept adding things, yeah. We were fairly fertile. You know, the stuff... later on, it wasn't that way. I wanted to be a single. I wanted to get away.
Right around this period, George,
yeah.
When you made the transition from being on radio to doing an act in front of an audience,
yeah.
What were some of the new techniques that you had to learn being face-to-face with an audience that you couldn't possibly have known or done being face-to-face with a radio
yeah.
microphone?
Well, it was more like what I was used to in my neighborhood. I was quite a street corner clown in my neighborhood prior to... This is what let me know prior to my radio experience and why I had that plan at 15 to be a comedian. Because I could make up things about the people in our neighborhood. I used to have like about a 30 or 40 minute act in my neighborhood that I would do on the stoop, not all at once. They'd say, hey, Georgie, tell me the story about Artie Lips coming out of the bar and then Margaret's outside. And I would just improvise this stuff about characters in my neighborhood. I had about 10 or 12 people whom I imitated, and I knew all of their salient points of their characters and so forth, and I would make up things. I made up a whole story about all the priests going to Coney Island on a drinking party. And so I was used to having people in front of me, even in small groups on the neighborhood, and getting laughs and being on the tightrope, having to survive from laugh to laugh.
Well, what about the technical things, simple like handling a microphone,
yeah.
being up in, you know, under the
well,
lights?
Well, I don't remember a lot about that, Larry. There were two of us, and we had that safety of two guys up there so that you didn't ever have the feeling that, oh, the world is on my shoulders. It was a shared thing. Working a room where it's not all your friends sitting around is another thing. The first 4 weeks we spent was in a coffee house here in Hollywood, which was fairly, you know, they were fairly nice to you. Later on came the saloons and the nightclubs where some of them were drunk or some of them were indifferent. You know, they didn't even come to see the headliner.